And here we are live on a Sunday afternoon with Lyle Lovett and friends. A little too small in here to fit the entire large band, but we've got Jeff and Stuart alongside. Lyle, what a thrill to have you in here today at WNRN.
Well, thanks for having us. We're thrilled to be in Charlottesville and really glad to stop by the studio here on the way.
You guys really packed in the touring this year. I'm impressed. And at the Carpenter Theater at Dominion Energy Center in Richmond on Tuesday. So congrats on being out back on the road. I know it's been a few years between studio albums for you and the band, but kudos on the newest album. And congratulations on twins, by the way, because I've got a 9-year-old, and I don't know how anybody does it beyond one child.
So, you know, congratulations. These are my first children ever, and I was, 59 when they were born, and it really has just been the most wondrous part of my life, really. It's I had no idea what I was missing. No, I'm just grateful, and I'm likewise grateful for my bandmates like Jeff White and Stuart Duncan. Getting to play with the large band, it was years between records, but we never stopped working, and I tour every summer with the large band, and I'm just grateful that all these musicians I work with kind of put down what they normally do and jump on the bus with me and go running around the country.
Well, and tell folks too who maybe aren't familiar or haven't seen you live, how many are in the large band these days?
This year it's always a little bit different depending on who's available, but this year we are 15 altogether, including me, and we have four horns in the horn section and three singers in our vocal group, and the rhythm, we have the rhythm section, of course, with Jeff and Stuart, and our rhythm section is the foundation of our rhythm section, are Russ Kunkel and Leland Sklar, and I've been working with them for years. I first recorded with Leland in 1988, first recorded with Russ in 1991, and they've just been a fundamental part of my music all these years.
Yeah, for sure. We've got Lyle Lovett in studio with WNRN. And before I forget to ask later, Lyle Lovett and his large band, were there any alternate names considered way back when you were deciding on what to call it?
It was a spontaneous thought, really. We were in 1988 was the first time I got to go on tour with the band, with a horn section, and Francine Reed singing with me. There were 10 of us that year all together, and we were standing around the rehearsal studio in Nashville, and my A&R man at MCA Records, Tony Brown, he said, "Well, what are you going to call the band?" And I said, "Well, I hadn't thought of calling it anything at all." And Tony and Bruce Hinton at MCA had arranged a sponsorship that year from Pioneer Electronics, the stereo people. They gave us, helped support the tour, and we really couldn't have done the tour without them. He said, "Well, Pioneer wants the band to have a name." And I looked around the room, and I saw a lot of people, and I thought of how people were, in the press, we were written up, just because there were a couple of horn arrangements on that record, we were written up as, having a big band kind of sound, which we really don't have a big band kind of sound. So I looked around the room and I said, "Tell them it's the large band." It was just that quick. It was an effort to describe how many people are in the band and also to distinguish us from legit big band music.
Very good. Well, thanks so much for the insights as always. And how about a song to start us off with here? We've got Lyle, Jeff White, Stuart Duncan in studio with WNRN. Which one did you want to do first?
I met Jeff White in 2002 because Jeff was producing a record for the Chieftains. He and Patty Maloney were producing a record for the Chieftains called Down the Old Plank Road, and it was a record of collaboration, really. The Chieftains invited guest vocalists to do American songs that might have had Irish origins. Is that fair to say, Jeff?
Yeah. And they definitely put their Irish spin on the ones that probably weren't directly from Ireland. But Paddy Maloney was great in the way his imagination worked for linking tunes together, some of them.
And he was just claiming these back, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. They'd been coming to the United States. They never spent a St. Paddy's Day in Ireland for 60 years. They always came to the U.S. or somewhere else to and they took it all worldwide. So
Jeff worked with the Chieftains for, gosh, 17 years, and so he knew them well, and I was just honored that Jeff thought of me for this one. Jeff, kick her off for us.
All right. One, two, three, go.
Don't let your deal go down, good Lord. Never let your deal go down. And don't let your deal go down, good Lord. Be your last $1 store. Well, I've been all around this whole wide world. I've been down to sunny Alabama. My mama, she always told me, son, never let your deal go down. And don't let your deal go down, good Lord. Never let your deal go down. Don't let your deal go down, good Lord. Do less $1 store.
The last time I seen that gal of mine, she was standing in the door. She said, honey, I'll be a long time gone. You'll never see my face no more.
Don't let your deal go down, good Lord. Never let your deal go down. Don't let your deal go down, good Lord. Your last $1 gone. And where did you get them high-heeled shoes and that dress so fine? Well, I got my shoes. I'm a railroad man, my best from a driver in the mine. And don't let your deal go down, good Lord. Never let your deal go down. And don't let your deal go down, good Lord. Your last $1 store. And don't let your deal go down, good Lord. Never let your deal go down. And don't let your deal go down, good Lord. Your last $1 gone.
There you have it. Very nice. Lyle Lovett, Jeff White, Stuart Duncan. You're listening in Richmond today. Carpenter Theater, Dominion Energy Center in Richmond on Tuesday. Lyle, this new album, of course, came out last year. And I was wondering, you know, at the beginnings of your career, I was thinking back to that late 80s. You had like Tracy Chapman, Katie Lang, Indigo Girls, Michelle Schacht. And now in recent years, we've seen Closer to Fine is being used in the new Barbie movie. There's a new hit male version of Fast Car that's like on the pop charts. So it's all kind of coming full circle here. Did you feel part of kind of a movement at the time, or were you just sort of trying to carve out your own path and maybe feeling more kinship to like Guy Clark and Townes Van Zandt, those sort
of
folks?
Well, you know, I grew up admiring Guy Clark's work and Townes Van Zandt's as well, but it was you know, I was just trying in 1984 when I first went to Nashville. I was 26 years old and was trying to figure out, can I make this idea of music work in terms of making a living or not? And I'd been playing the same half a dozen clubs around Texas every couple of months for several years, and I finally thought I need to learn about the business and see if it can really, you know, provide for me. And And so I went to Nashville to sing harmony on a Nancy Griffith record, mm-hmm. And on that trip, I set up meetings with folks around town, and I was just shocked at how willing people were to talk to me. And I had a demo tape of four songs, and they seemed willing to listen to those. And I got enough encouragement from that first week of meetings to come back every few weeks with a few more songs that I demoed with the wonderful band that I'd met from Phoenix, Arizona. Billy Williams was the music director and produced my demos. The band was J. David Sloan and the Rogues, and at the time we recorded, the pianist was a 19-year-old Matt Rawlings and a 23-year-old Ray Herndon and a 23-year-old Matt McKenzie, and Jeff Boree was the drummer. Ray and J. David Sloan sang all the harmonies on those demos. It was an important time in my life and in my first recording. And going to Nashville, it seemed to be a good time. My timing is not usually very good, but in 1984, 85, it seemed like Nashville was willing to try things that hadn't been tried before. And it was, you know, sort of the end of the urban cowboy boon, and record labels seemed to be looking for what might be next. A lot of us folk Americana types seem to be able to slip through the cracks. My first record came out around the same time that Nancy Griffith's first record on MCA came out. Steve Earle's first record, Dwight Yoakam's first record, Katie Lang's first record. What was actually next were artists like Randy Travis and Clint Black and Garth Brooks, and that's sort of where country music went. But for a moment, a few of us that might not otherwise have had a chance did have a chance and were able to find an audience.
Yeah, interesting about the timing there for sure. And and like you said, you maybe got some reviews that referred to big band and you didn't really want to get lumped in with that sound. You do have a couple of standards on the latest record, Straighten Up and Fly Right and G Baby Ain't That Good to You. Maybe more associated, I guess, over the years with Nat King Cole. I was surprised that Tony Bennett never did a version of either one of those songs that I could find anyway. You have any good Tony Bennett stories? We've got a pretty famous Tony Bennett around here, I should say, the University of Virginia basketball coach. But so you got to kind of specify
there you, which one you're talking about. You know, I never got to meet Tony Bennett, but his son Danny Bennett was running Verve Records when he's the person who signed me to my record deal at Verve.
Okay.
And I signed that record deal in early 2018, and a month later Danny Bennett was gone. So it was one of those record company stories where you get signed by one person and then all of a sudden they're gone. Huh. And I ended up working with a young man named Jamie Krentz and the team there at Verve, and it was a one record deal, and so I did that record. It came out about a year ago. And now I'm a free agent again. But Verve has we tried some different approaches to the title track of the album, which is called 12th of June, and so we recorded it three different ways, and Verve just this week released the two versions of it that we didn't put on the record. So two alternate versions of the title track were made available online this past week, and Stewart played on one of those alternate versions, as well as the album track as well.
Very cool. Were you guys up for playing that one?
Well, we'll play
today
it
for
sure.
Us. Awesome. It's Lyle Lovett here in studio with WNRN.
The setting for this song really is our family cemetery that. On my dad's side of the family, up in San Jacinto County in East Texas, set in a little clearing right in the piney woods next to a little creek. That's a little tributary to the main creek, really, and all the old folks in the family always called it the Branch. ¶¶
before spring turned into summer, after night turned into day. They were born a Monday morning in the days just after May. In the days just after May. By the branches, angels play for me a happy tune. And know of all the days I love best the 12th of June. I love best the 12th of June. He was strong across his shoulders, and she was delicate of skin. And their mother lay there ashen as we held them to our breasts. As we held them to our breasts. By the branches, angels sang, play for me a happy tune. And know of all the days I love best the 12th of June. I love best the 12th.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Lyle Lovett, Jeff White, Stuart Duncan in studio today on WNRN. The show is Tuesday in Richmond at the Carpenter Theater at Dominion Energy Center. Lyle, thanks so much for the songs and the visit today and for kind of helping to create this whole format of radio that we're doing. You made stations like this possible.
We're honored to be here. Thanks for having us on.